All right, let's dive in. We're going deep into the Count of Monte Cristo, but not the one you might be thinking of. We're talking the brand new 2025 miniseries. And this deep dive, we're focusing on something a little different, the locations.
Because, wow, they really went all out, didn't they? I mean, talk about visual storytelling.
Yeah, it's like these places aren't just backdrops, they're practically characters themselves.
Absolutely. Adding layers of meaning to the story you just wouldn't get otherwise.
Okay, so for anyone who needs a quick refresher, The Count of Monte Cristo, it's this classic tale of Edmond Dantes, a young sailor wrongly accused. He spends years in prison, escapes, and then, well, revenge is on his mind. But this miniseries, directed by Bill August, you know, the Oscar winner, it's aiming for something a bit more than just a straight revenge story.
Right. August wants to explore the psychology of it all. You know, not just the revenge, but the idea of redemption, too.
And with this cast, Sam Claflin as Edmund, Jeremy Irons as Abby Faria, and some amazing Italian actors rounding it out. There's a lot to work with.
Oh, for sure.
So let's start with Paris, the City of Lights. I mean, you can't do the Count of Monte Cristo without Paris, right?
Definitely not. But they didn't just go for the obvious landmarks. They found these really interesting places that add so much to the story.
Like the Hôtel de Maison. That's where Edmund meets up with Mercedes again, his lost love.
Exactly. And it's this beautiful old mansion, just perfect for that sense of romantic tragedy, you know?
Oh, totally. And then there's the Opera Garnier. They actually filmed a duel there. Can you imagine? The drama.
It's more than just the visual spectacle, though. Think about what the opera house represents. Mm. High society, ambition. It plays right into the Count's whole plan, going after his enemies in this really social way.
Oh, that's so clever. It's like the locations are part of his strategy.
Exactly. And then you've got the Maison de Victor Hugo, adding this whole literary layer to the story.
Ah, yeah, I love that. And we can't forget the Pont Royal, that gorgeous bridge. That's where we see Edmund in his carriage, you know, after he's become the Count.
Oh, definitely a deliberate choice. Showing off his newfound wealth and power.
It's all about the visuals. Even for the Count's home, they used two locations.
Oh, yeah, the Hôtel de Sully for the outside and the Palais Brongniart, which used to be the stock exchange, for the interiors. It's this blend of old elegance and modern wealth, just like Edmund himself.
Wow, so Paris is playing this really interesting role, showing that contrast between old and new, innocence and power. But then we go to Turin. What's going on there?
Turin brings this whole different energy to the story. It's got this history, but also this artistic side.
Okay, I can see that.
For example, they use the Teatro Stabile, a huge theater, for scenes that are actually set inside a play within a play.
Whoa, that's meta. But how does Turin tie into Edmund's story, you know, on an emotional level?
Well, there's the Palazzo dell'Università di Torino. That's where Edmund and Mercedes have this big reunion years later.
Oh.
And then there's the Palazzina di Caccia di Stupinigi, this lavish royal residence, kind of hinting at what Edmund could have had, maybe.
Ooh, foreshadowing.
Yeah.
What about the Museo Nazionale del Risorgimento? That seems like an unusual choice.
Yeah, they specifically use the camera Subalpina, and trust me, it plays a big part in the story, but no spoilers.
Okay, okay, keeping the mystery alive.
And we can't forget the Curia Maxima. That's where a huge decision about Edmund's future is made.
So Turin's all about these turning points for him.
Exactly. It's like he's being pulled back into the past even as he tries to move forward.
And then Malta. That seems like a total shift in gears.
Yeah, but Malta's actually standing in for Marseille, where the story begins. They used Vittoriosa, with its harbor, to capture that 19th century port city vibe.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But there's something about Malta, it's so visually striking.
Oh, absolutely. They filmed at the Cappella di San Nicola in Marsescala. It's this tiny little architectural gem, and it becomes really important in the story.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What about Medina, the silent city? It sounds so mysterious.
Mina is like stepping back in time, seriously. They filmed a lot in the historic center, even in the Museo della Cattedrale.
So we've got Marseille, this bustling port, and then this ancient, almost mystical city.
It's almost like Malta represents this escape for Edmund, this hidden world where he can transform himself.
Yeah, I get that. Especially since transformation is such a big part of the Count of Monte Cristo.
Right. And in Medina, he makes some huge decisions, like announcing his engagement to Mercedes that happens at the Villa Bologna.
Oh, wow. So much going on in Malta. And they actually filmed there longer than planned. They must have loved it.
Oh, I can see why. And throughout the scenes in Medina, you can see the Cathedral of St. Paul in the background. It's just stunning.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
It's like these locations are doing so much more than just looking pretty. They're reflecting the characters, the themes, even foreshadowing things.
You're getting it. Oh. And we've only just scratched the surface. Wait till we really dig into how these places play into the Count's plan for revenge.
Oh, now you've got me hooked. I can't wait.
You know, it's like each location reflects how Edmund's feeling at that point in the story.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about it like that.
Think about when he goes back to Paris as the Count, all powerful and rich. But inside, he's still carrying all that pain from his past.
Yeah, and that's where those two locations for his home come in, right?
Exactly. The Hotel de Sully, all classic and grand. That's the image he wants to project. But then you have the Palais Brongniart, all that opulence kind of hinting at a darker side.
Oh, totally. And what about Medina? That silent city felt so heavy, you know?
Right. Those narrow streets, all those secrets. It's like a visual representation of Edmund's mind when he's consumed by revenge.
Oh, yeah, that's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
The filmmakers really knew what they were doing. I mean, these locations are adding so much depth to the story.
Oh, absolutely. And let's not forget how visually stunning it all is. Paris, Turin, Malta, they're all gorgeous.
Seriously, I'm getting major travel envy just watching it.
Speaking of which, you mentioned Medina has been used in other movies too, right?
Oh, yeah. It's super popular with filmmakers, especially for anything historical or mysterious.
Okay, spill the tea. What else has been filmed there? Well, they filmed some scenes from Troy there, the one with Brad Pitt.
Oh, wow.
And parts of Gladiator with Russell Crowe.
Wait, hold on. Speaking of revenge, did they film any of the old Count of Monte Cristo movie there, the one with John Murray?
Good guess, but that one was mostly filmed in France and Italy. But you're on the right track with the revenge theme. You want to know something cool?
Oh, absolutely. What is it?
One of the most famous revenge scenes in movie history was filmed in Medina.
No way. Which one?
Remember the climax of Gladiator where Maximus finally gets his revenge in the arena?
Oh my gosh, yes. That scene is epic.
Well, that arena was actually the one in Medina. They just made it look like the Colosseum in Rome.
That's incredible. I never would have guessed. But it makes sense. Medina has this timeless quality. It could be so many different places.
Exactly. Who knows how many more revenge stories have played out within those walls? Which brings us back to our Count. What do you think about how this miniseries handles the whole revenge thing compared to the book?
That's a good question. Dumas' novel is so complex, it really gets into the psychology of revenge, the consequences.
Right, and a miniseries can't capture all of that.
Yeah, but I think this adaptation does a good job of showing Edmund's internal struggle. He wants justice, but it's taking a toll on him.
Yeah, it's not just a simple revenge story. It's about the human cost of it all.
Definitely. And that's why The Count of Monte Cristo is still so relevant, even centuries later.
Oh, yeah, that desire for revenge. It's something we can all relate to, you know?
Totally. But Edmund's story also reminds us that revenge has a price, even when it feels justified.
It might feel good in the moment, but it doesn't really lead to happiness. It can even be self-destructive.
It's a powerful message, and I think the miniseries does a good job of getting that across. But I don't want to give away any spoilers. Let's let our listeners discover the ending for themselves.
Agreed. Let's keep the mystery alive. But we can definitely say this miniseries is a fresh, visually stunning take on The Count of Monte Cristo. Talented cast, brilliant director, these amazing locations. It really brings the story to life in a new way.
Couldn't say it better myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that wraps up part two of our deep dive into The Count of Monte Cristo 2025.
You know, before we go, I want to leave our listeners with something to think about. How do you think film and TV can help us understand history?
Ooh, that's a good one. We'll dig into that in our final part, so stay tuned. Welcome back for the final part of our deep dive into The Count of Monte Cristo 2025. We've covered so much ground, from revenge and locations to how this miniseries brings this classic story into the modern age.
And now, as promised, we're tackling that big question. Can film and television actually help us understand history?
It's a great question. I mean, on the one hand, movies and TV shows can make history feel so much more, you know, accessible, exciting even.
Think about Gladiator, for example. It got so many people interested in ancient Rome, even if it wasn't perfectly accurate.
That's true. But isn't there a danger of oversimplifying things? Could they create stereotypes or give a misleading view of the past?
That's definitely a valid concern, which is why being a critical viewer is so important. We can't take everything we see on screen as the absolute truth, but we can use it as a starting point, you know, to learn more.
So it's about sparking that curiosity and then doing your own research.
Exactly. Plus, film and TV can transport us back in time in a way that books sometimes can't.
Yeah, it's like you're right there with the characters walking those Parisian streets in the 19th century.
Exactly. And that helps us connect with them, understand their world better.
And sometimes, a film or TV show can shed light on events or stories that you might not find in a typical history book.
Absolutely. Think about all the films that tell the stories of marginalized groups, stories that might have been overlooked or even erased.
So in a way, they can broaden our understanding of the past, give voice to those who haven't been heard.
But we also have to be aware of potential biases, you know, and not fall into the trap of historical revisionism.
Right. We can't forget that movies and TV shows are ultimately works of art. There's always a creative lens, a narrative choice being made.
And the historical reality is usually much more complex than what we see on screen.
So it's about being critical, but also staying curious.
Yes. Use film and TV as a springboard to learn more, to explore the past with an open mind, and to always dig deeper.
And speaking of digging deeper, let's bring it back to The Count of Monte Cristo 2025. While it's set in the past, it definitely speaks to our present in so many ways.
Oh, for sure. Themes like revenge, injustice, forgiveness, those are timeless.
And maybe seeing how Edmund deals with those challenges in a different time can even make us think about our own lives, our own choices.
Absolutely. It's a reminder that this miniseries isn't just visually stunning, it's also a chance to look inward.
I love that. Well, I think we've reached the end of our deep dive into The Count of Monte Cristo 2025.
It's been a great journey exploring locations, history, revenge, and even the power of film and television.
Thank you for joining us on this adventure. Remember, history, like a good miniseries, is full of surprises and insights. Until next time on The Deep Dive.